Hi, welcome to Starcastic Remarks, the only Stars fan-led podcast. I'm Ryan, here with my brother Chris. We're huge hockey nuts, and we decided to start this podcast just because, you know, we see all these podcasts from media members, but you don't really see any, like, fan-led podcasts, and we thought this would be kind of fun. So, say hi, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Yep, fan reaction podcasts are the best because nobody knows what we're talking about and we're just going to be yelling and be angry.
Yep, and that's because that's all we do, right? And specifically when the Stars don't score goals, right? So, well, anyways, what we're going to be talking about tonight is mostly the game that just happened, right? So against the St. Louis Blues, which was a really hard game to watch. I don't know about you, Chris, but... overall, it was just really hard to watch. And then we'll talk about a couple of other things, and specifically how to help the Stars increase scoring and other things they can do. And then also we'll talk about tomorrow and see which of these eliminated teams is going to get the coveted first overall pick from the NHL draft. Are we sure this is a hockey podcast?
Hope so.
All right. Anyways, Chris, give me your overall reaction just to the game today.
Well, yeah, this game was overall a classic Dallas Stars hockey frustrating game. So the first goal of the game goes right in after a great start from the Stars. And it just gets all washed away. All the good feelings from the first 4.5 minutes gone and out the window.
Well, and that's happened numerous times, too, where they've let
second time
shot.
Already, yeah. Just in the round robin. Just terrible.
Yeah, no, that seems to be a thing under Rick Bowness, is like the first shot of the game goes in every single time. Doesn't matter who's in net. It could be Bishop or it could be Hudobin. It just goes in.
Yep. So even then, throughout the game, we pretty much outplayed them the entire game and just couldn't ever put a puck in the net. So shots on goal, which I use as the best mark of, like, how a team is playing over another team. Stars in the game with 38 shots on goal, and the St. Louis Blues with only 22. So that shows you Dallas Stars are pretty much dominating the entire game. Couldn't ever find the back of the net. It was so frustrating. During the third period, I couldn't even sit down and watch. I was pacing throughout the living room, just slamming my fist into the couch and yelling because we couldn't put a freaking puck in the net.
Well,
and then when we finally do, I pretty much scream and fall to the ground, almost crying, just thanking the hockey gods for the blessing.
I know, I use that same exact analogy.
I thought we were going to win in overtime.
Throughout the game, I'm just thinking that, you know, the hockey gods just don't like us right now. They just don't like the Stars. We did something wrong. We sinned. We did something to make them mad. So
I do have a stat to follow that up, because the Stars over the past 5 years – have hit the most posts of any team in the NHL.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because who all hit a post tonight? Gerionov did, Heiskanen did, Pavelski did. Hintz did as well, so that's at least four.
There was four or five post hits just tonight.
I know, and it's just... It's also a Sagan thing, and he wasn't even in the game tonight. So, go figure.
Yep, so... Overall, classic Stars game. I'm just happy we won one of the games. So, and overall, even though it feels like this round robin was like a super bad, like grindy, terrible round robin, in the end, we move up a seed. So it's a win. Like, we win the round robin because we moved up a seed. So it was overall a success for us.
Right. So we could only gain from this round robin tournament.
Exactly.
Because, I mean,
so even though the game felt bad, statistically and in the standings, it was only successful.
Yep. I'm kind of in the same way. I just didn't feel like halfway through the game, I was telling my wife, I was just like saying, it doesn't seem like either team really wants to win.
Yeah, it was really feeling that way towards the middle of the second. It just felt like everyone was gliding around. Everyone was falling all over the place. I saw a bunch of people on Twitter mentioning that.
I know, it was just like, you know, but one of the biggest things I noticed was, and I think it was even mentioned on the NBC I think it was on their main network, not their sports network, but during one of the power plays, Ben was out on the point, and he was kept pointing out to Haskinen to get the pass up to Haskinen when Ben was literally just standing there. He was literally just standing at the point when he should have come down, and they could have gotten that pass across and set up a one-timer and possibly a goal. And, you know, if there's anybody that we need to score more right now, it's Ben. You know, he gets paid $9.5 million. I forget exactly how much, but it's something like that. I mean, it's not outrageous like John Tavares, $11 million or anything like that. But still, he gets paid the big bucks. And it just looks like he is, you know, lazy on the ice, for lack of a better term. I mean, sometimes he seems to make it work for him, and he used to make it work for him, and he looked lazy on the ice, and he would still score, like, you know, 20, 30 goals or whatever. But it doesn't even seem to be really working for him right now. And I would just like to see a lot more effort just from our top guys. I mean, like, where's Radulov in all of this? I mean, he's been super quiet this whole year, other than maybe the Winter Classic when he scored the goal for us to go up 3-2. But
a couple multi-goal games here and there too.
He had a couple, but he's another guy. He gets paid about $6 million to score goals, and I know these guys are getting old, but, you know, come on.
Yeah. That can lead us into our first question of the podcast is,
who are
the Stars' top three forwards, and who should they be?
Yeah, and I think you and I both agree on this right now. Is I think our top three who are doing the most damage are probably Pavelski, Gerionov, and Hintz. Just looking at my notes from the game, I wrote down Gerionov's name several times. He had numerous opportunities. I mean, he hit the post, hit the post. Pavelski actually hit the post as well and finally scored a goal with, like, I think 28 seconds left. Yep. And you know, those are the guys that don't get paid as much. I mean, Pavelski gets $7 million, but, you know, Hintz and Gerionov, they don't get paid jack crap compared to Ben and Sagan and those guys that should be scoring goals. So
and having that be the fact rather than the true top guys who it should be, which is Ben Sagan, Radulov, that is not going to be a recipe for success in the Calgary series. If that continues on into that series, I don't see the Stars getting past even five games. We're going to be out in five at the best if Ben Sagan, Radulov keep playing the way they did throughout these play-ins.
Well, and the thing is that if you're Rick Bonus, what do you do with those line combinations? Because honestly, I'm thinking, like, you put Hintz and Gerionov together, and then, you know, the other person that kind of stood out to me today was Janmark. Janmark was kind of all over the ice today, and he was getting some chances. And if Sagan can't keep up with Hintz and Gerionov with their speed, I think Janmark can. And honestly,
I'm going to have to disagree with you with the Janmark choice there. I saw Janmark with a bunch of turnovers today. He was very frustrating, especially in the early game. I would do
maybe Pavelski.
Hintz and Janmark, and then I would put Pavelski with them at center. If we can afford to take Hintz off the center, which he doesn't have great faceoff percentage numbers anyway. So if we can filter someone else in there, so probably Tyler Sagan, if he's fine to come back day to day, he'll be a better center option than Hintz. I would have Gurionov right, Hintz left, put Pavelski in the center. And then to try and jumpstart the top three guys, I would just do the classic thing that worked from the very beginning since we got Alexander Radulov. I'd put those three on the line, Jamie Benn, Tyler Sagan, Alexander Radulov. Tell them if they want to win a hockey game, that's the line that's going to do it. They've got to do what the McDavid line did. They've got to step up, score three goals, take over the hockey game, win the game by themselves. So I think we got to give those guys the chance to step up and make the plays. And if they don't do it, then Stars are going to be out for a early first round exit.
I agree, because there's not much we can do to start the scoring. I do need to mention first that Kiviranta, he had an okay game, and I mean, like you and I were talking about before we started recording, he only had like 6.5 minutes on ice, but he did have that great deflection in the high slot from Perry early in the game, and so I just needed to mention that. But okay, so we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but just assuming Sagan is in the lineup, what other line combinations would you go with on top of the one that the two that you mentioned, the top two lines? What would you do with the bottom two?
Yeah, I would of course keep the FCC line. I would like to see them get played less when we're down points, because they're obviously getting played too much whenever we're down. Like they do get offensive zone possession time, but it never materializes into anything. And then the last line, I would just put Dickinson, Janmark, and Perry. And I think even that would be a true fourth line. I would say FCC would be third line. Janmark, Dickinson, Perry would be a fourth line. And just see what they can do, because Dickinson and Janmark are typically known as hardworking grinders anyway. Perry's a little, he's a little twat. He likes to skate around the ice and piss people off, so.
Yeah, I remember when we first signed him and everybody was just like, oh no, not Perry, anybody but Perry. But we all said the same thing when they signed Sean Avery years ago too. That was probably the worst signing the Stars ever made. As for my Stars line combos for the forward lines, honestly, I'm going to have to agree with you on most of the stuff except for Pavelski. I think Janmark has got some offensive potential, and I know he's starting to get to the age where it might be too late, but I think if he's working with two young guys like Gerionov and Hintz, I think that can jumpstart him. And then he's one of the few on the team that can keep up speed-wise with the two of them. So, I mean, maybe you put Tyler Sagan with them. Did you see the cat behind me? The cat just ran past. Anyways, but still, you know, that's got to be the line combo I would go with. I might even consider that my first line at this point. And then, you know, I would probably agree with you and put Ben, Radulov, and Sagan together, and, you know, just maybe rekindle some of that magic. And then obviously the FCC line, and then the three remaining guys, just keep them together as well.
You'd have Pavelski, Dickinson, Perry?
Yeah, that's what I would do. And honestly, they would be a good fourth line as well that could have some offensive potential, because, I mean, you know, we've been talking about all these guys who should be scoring and stuff like that, but, you know, Perry had a reason to be scoring some goals this year too, since he got bought out of his contract with Anaheim last year. And he hasn't done it very much, and, you know, this could be the perfect time for him to, you know, step up and, you know, start scoring some goals for us, because, boy, do we ever need it. And, you know, his contract is up this year. He only signed a one-year deal, so.
Yeah. Perry has looked better these past few games, our Lord Savior, praise to him. So he has been a lot better. He's been all around the ice. He's been playing well defensively. He's taken a couple of stupid penalties that we've seen. But overall, I think he's been – him and Pavelski have really stepped up during these play-ins like they haven't in the regular season, like we hoped they would have in the regular season.
Especially at the beginning of the year.
Exactly. But they've really started stepping up now, and they're showing how that experience that we talked about when we were getting excited for this season would help. And I think now it's actually finally starting to pay off. We're seeing how that Corey Perry and Pavelski experience can help us out. I would like to offer some hope for the top three guys, for the Radulov, Sagan, and Ben, those guys.
Okay.
So Ben tonight had 5 shots on goal. And from the first game, he had 0. So I think he's definitely understanding that he needs to be producing. Same thing happened with Sagan, too. First game, he had no shots on goal. And against Colorado, he had 5 shots on goal. Obviously, tonight, he didn't play. Radulov didn't have any shots on goal, but he definitely he seemed like he was trying more. It wasn't really materializing in anything, especially in overtime. He just needed to get off the ice, but I feel like they understand that they need to get themselves going at least. And the shots on goal are really telling. So Ben led tonight, actually, with shots on goal. Second was Gurianov with four. But yeah, I think that's a good indication that the Stars might be on the upward trend with those top three guys, and we might see some pucks in the back of the net from them.
Well, you know, you were mentioning ice time with Pavelski, and now that I'm looking at some of the stats, you know, the second most or the second highest time on ice was Radulov, and he was not, very visible tonight this afternoon at all.
Yeah, I think that has to do with some of the hustle that he was showing, though. He was really banging the body on the forecheck. When he would get the puck on straight to the net. It seemed like he was really trying to manufacture something himself, and I think Bonus might have caught up on that and was trying to get him in there, trying to get him going. So, and while we're on the topic of time on ice, there's obviously in the Stars community, there's been huge discussion over how Bonus is not playing Gurianov and Hintz, and that continues tonight. So Gurianov has he obviously has the shootout winner, but he also has four shots on goal, and he's only got 13 minutes of time on ice.
Almost 14, yeah. That's crazy.
Almost 14, which is third, fourth least on the team, which I understand Bonus gave an answer around March, actually, February, March, as to why that is, and he's just saying that he's giving Gurianov a certain amount of shifts, but I saw a stat from last game that wasn't the case either, because he was tied with the least amount of total shift numbers too, not just lower time on ice. So I don't know what's up with that. I definitely think Bonus likes leaning on his veteran guys. He's got Radulov in there for a ton, like you said, even though he wasn't really producing shots. He saw Pavelski was playing well, so he keeps throwing Pavelski in there. Jamie Benn, even though he's not doing much, he was getting shots, but he's still got 20 minutes. Dickinson, too, he's got almost 17. So I don't know if we can get Bonus to play these young guns finally. Maybe not this year, but, man, four shots on goal with almost half the time that Pavelski did to get three shots on goal.
Well, then maybe
you're gonna get him on the ice more.
So maybe you just sit there and you just double shift him, or maybe even triple shift Gurianov and Hintz. You got to get those guys, because I mean, I have like two pages of notes that I made from this game, and looking at those two names, they're on here more than any other Stars, including Ben Radulov. Obviously, Sengen didn't play tonight, but. I mean, even Pavelski was playing well, and those were the two guys I noticed the most were Gurianov and Hintz. And, yep. I mean, we got to get, you're totally 100% right. We got to get those guys on the ice and get them more ice time.
Yeah, that's another reason why my line I'm putting Pavelski on there with
just because he had 24 minutes tonight.
Yeah, with Gurianov and Hintz. Because he has 24 minutes tonight, and he's obviously the veteran presence that makes Bonus feel good in his heart. So as long as there is at least some guy with a little gray in his hair on the ice with the young guns, maybe it'll make Bonus feel better about throwing them on the ice more, and hopefully getting them just barreling up the ice, because they've got the speed on the team that every other player on our team does not have. So we showed how much speed affects us in the Colorado game. We were completely not ready for how fast
us.
They were going.
Killed us.
And Gurianov, Hintz have that speed, and when they can get going, they can surprise defenders. You can see Gurianov, most of his goals, he's just blowing by defenders up the far side boards and just barreling it home. So if we can get those guys on the ice and just get them skating north and make Bonus feel good about putting them on the ice, then I feel like we're going to get a lot more production out of them, even because, like I said, Gurianov, 13 minutes, way less than any other impact players, and he's got second most shots on goal. So that's kind of imagine giving him double that. Like, he's going to get at least 6 shots on goal, be leading the team.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, this kind of leads me to the next question we were going to talk about. And we've been kind of hitting on it this whole discussion. But what else can the Stars do to increase their scoring? I mean, because it seems like we have the defense down other than the Colorado game. I kind of feel like that we gave up. But, I mean, the Stars are known as a defensive team. So defense is not the problem. Obviously, the problem is scoring. How do we fix that?
Yeah, I think the short-term answer is Gurianov and Hintz have to play. And they've got to play a lot. So we already talked about that. That's not going to be enough, though. So realistically, if the Stars want to do well, it can't just be Gurianov, Hintz, and Pavelski playing well, and those are the only forwards we see in the offensive zone doing anything. It's got to be Sagan, got to be Benn, it's got to be Radulov. If those guys don't get going by the end of the Calgary series, then we're not gonna be going anywhere. The simple fact is they've got to score goals. That's what they're paid to do. And if that's not going to happen, then we might even think about restarting the team around Gurianov, Hintz, Haskinen.
Yeah, right. And you know, I think my solution for this is we got to include the defense. I know we're a defensive team, but we got to take more chances with our defensemen. I mean, yeah,
on that subject, Miro Haskinen has an assist on every single Stars goal in this postseason round robin so far. And John Klingberg, who slotted back into the lineup, also had an assist on the Pavelski goal today. So that's definitely the defenseman jumping up in the rush. And I could at least see in the third period Oleksiak and Klingberg and Haskinen all jumping up, even at points having 3-on-2 odd man rushes with two defensemen up there and one forward. So yeah, I'm definitely seeing them slide up in there and work up into it. Unfortunately, it's only when we're down, which I think is another big problem that needs to be addressed, obviously, from the Knights game. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see the implementation of the D-men stepping up into the play, joining the offensive rush, and getting some production that way.
Well, and I liked how you mentioned Oleksiak, because, you know, even though he's a big man and, you know, Mr. Big Rig, and he's known for his physical play and everything, he still has some offensive upside. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. So if we could include him in on the rushes, and I mean, I think that's our answer to that, to help increase in scoring, is more defense at the defenseman.
Especially out of nowhere for Oleksiak. Kind of the start of the round robin. He's just like stepping up and making plays happen, using his hands and stuff that we never really see. We normally just see him throw the body around and pin guys against walls and kick the puck to the fast guys. But he's really finding a way to get up the ice, use his hands, really buying into the D-men getting up on the rush, which he's got some nice hands that we've seen. So he had a shot on goal this game as well. So seems like he's really buying into the defenseman coming up and getting onto the rush.
And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned joining the offensive rush, because one of my biggest things that was frustrating me about this game is that we had numerous opportunities to go on and get on-band rushes. There was a chance we had like a 4-on-2, and there was a couple of 3-on-1s and a couple of 2-on-1s. And in some cases, the Blues have a couple of good plays and a couple of good defensive plays. But there were just some instances where they should have realized it and then gone on the gallop and gone. And I mean, because honestly, as a team that does not score very much, and we sit in our turtle shell and we, you know, hold on to the lead when we can, we have to take advantage of those sort of opportunities.
Yeah, I think we definitely see those as the game progresses too, because you get that urgency. It's not like, oh, if I go and it gets a quick turnover, they're going to be heading the other way. It's, we got to go now or the game's going to end. We got to score. I think that's where some of it, where earlier in the game that doesn't happen, where later in the game it does. We need to find a way to get that going from the get-go, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, Miro did join the rush on several occasions, and he was doing what Miro does. But I'd really like to see Klingberg do more of it too. But I really wish he would just get involved a little bit more. And the one thing I did like that all the Stars did is they did shoot the puck. Like you said, they had, what, 38 shots on goal is what you said?
Yeah, 38.
Yeah, 38 shots on goal. So I'm sure that was one of the talking points for Bowen is talking to his team, letting them know, hey, we got to get some shots on net. I mean, it's got to happen. So, and, you know, honestly, at this point, when we're a team that's, you know, really hungry for goals and we're starving for goals, just take everything and throw it at the net and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, they were doing that tonight. There were several sharp angle shots. I mean, even from the very beginning, in that first minute, I think it was Ben had a crazy sharp angle shot that looked like it had a chance to go in. So yeah.
I didn't notice it, but Miro Heiskanen actually led the team in shots on goals tonight with 6. So I apologize to him. It wasn't Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn had 5, so he's second to Miro Heiskanen, who has 6, who definitely jumps on the rush, and when he gets the puck and he's got an open lane, he's taking the shot. I think we've definitely seen Miro Heiskanen throughout this season, throughout last season, throughout these playoffs. Miro Heiskanen, he is our guy for the future. So I think we need to keep riding him throughout these playoffs, keep letting him do whatever he wants with the puck. Get it out of his way, let him go score.
Yep. All right. Well, so we kind of talked about the game and what we can do to help increase scoring on all that jazz. We talked about line combos. All right, let's look forward to tomorrow, right? So before all this play-in series and all this stuff happened, the craziness is of the NHL draft lottery. The first overall pick is going to one of these teams that was knocked out of the play-in round, and that includes both 5 seeds, so both Pittsburgh and Edmonton. Who got knocked out by Chicago and Montreal, respectively. They're open for winning the lottery and getting Alexei Lafreniere. And then you've also got the Predators, the Rangers, the Wild, the Panthers, the Jets. And then finally tonight we found out that the Maple Leafs got knocked out by Columbus, which, by the way, go Columbus. Huh. First Tampa Bay and then Toronto, 2 juggernauts back-to-back years. But anyways, so who do we not want to see get the first overall pick out of those teams? Like, and there may be more than one, because I don't think there's honestly a good answer to this. Because any of these teams, I would not want to see the number one pick go to any of them.
Yeah. Because they're
honestly not that bad. They might have just had a bad series with, you know, with COVID and all the other stuff going on. So anyway, what's your answer to that?
Yeah, specifically for the Stars, I'm thinking about the impact that Lafreniere can have if he goes to a Western Conference team specifically. I don't want that first overall pick going to either Edmonton or Winnipeg. So Edmonton, they're pretty much just getting carried by McDavid and Draisaitl right now. We saw that in the Chicago series, right? McDavid's doing everything he can to pull the team out of the grave. He's still not strong enough to do it. And I'm afraid one more. So Lafreniere has the potential to make Edmonton have forwards number 1, 2, and 3 if he's really as good as people are saying he is. So I think that would finally be enough to be a terrifying combo. And the Jets, they're overall just a well-structured team that just this year doesn't have enough talent to put the puck in the net and defend at the same time. So they got the great goalie in Hellebuck, but I think Lafreniere could really add some spark to that team that they haven't really had since moving from Atlanta, really.
Well, and then in Winnipeg's defense, they did lose both Laine and Scheifele. So yeah, they lost 2 of their top 6 forwards. And they had some resolve in game 2 in their series where they came back and won the game. But it just seemed like in game 3 in the 3rd period, they just looked totally dejected.
Yeah,
they've got
both their arms cut off right now, so
yeah,
no shock in them losing.
You know, and then there's there's constantly the question that I'm seeing on social media is like, which Canadian team is going to win the Stanley Cup next? And, you know, honestly, I think that Winnipeg is the closest, assuming, you know, the teams that are in this year don't make it. I mean, you got Patrick Laine, you got Mark Scheifele, you've got Blake Wheeler, and then you've got basically I think he's going to win the Vezina, Connor Hellebuyck. Honestly, the way he played this year, and I think the only reason why they were even close to making the playoffs was because of Hellebuyck. And there was a lot of talk around the Jets with their defense this past year because they got rid of Tyler Myers, and then, you know, the whole Dustin Byfuglien thing where he decided he didn't want to play anymore, and then they kind of downgraded. But, you know, their defense at the beginning of the year, it was kind of rough, but towards the end, especially around when COVID was happening, they were doing pretty well.
Jets are definitely scary, especially being in the Stars division. They've always been – it's always pretty much been Blues, Stars, Jets for me is how I thought about it, with the Preds kind of just floating up and down in there depending on how they felt that year.
But yeah.
Jets are definitely scary, but I still think it's Edmonton that's got the highest chance of getting to the Cup, just because you get one coach in there that can just – teach those third and fourth liners to just check hard and defend the way the Stars do, it's going to be a flip switch, and they're going to be, like, almost unbeatable if they can get a good coach in there.
Well, they've got Dave Tippett. Is Dave Tippett not a good coach?
I mean...
He's considered one of the most structured coaches in all of hockey.
He doesn't have a good record, just saying, from the Stars to the Yotes to now Edmonton.
Yeah, that's
not much true. Success in those teams. So, well, yes, he's considered a good coach, but he doesn't have the rings to prove it. So,
I guess that's true. So, honestly, who do I really not want to see get the first overall pick? It's got to be one of the five seeds. It's either Pittsburgh or Edmonton. It's just with Pittsburgh. I mean, can you just think about this for a second? You've got Sidney Crosby, you've got Evgeny Malkin, and then you've got Alexei Lafreniere.
That would be awesome.
How freaking ridiculous. No.
Well, they're in the Eastern Conference. We only got to play them twice. Okay, give us two extra losses. But, like, other than that, 2020 already, so just continue on with the maximum chaos. So we don't know who gets the first overall pick. Then the best team who lost, who should have been in the playoffs, who isn't, now gets the first overall pick. That would be perfect. That would be a great way to continue on with this 2020 season.
Well, and
in
then
my opinion.
And then
that would be amazing.
And then even when you look at Edmonton, you've got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and then Alexei Lafreniere.
Yeah, probably on three different lines.
I was like, oh my. Can you imagine all three of them on a power play unit together or something like that?
Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
Oh, that'd be terrifying as a penalty killer. It's like, hey, Como and Foxa, go out there and defend those three guys.
Not happening.
But, you know, honestly, when you look at any of these, I don't like the any team that he goes to. It looks scary. I mean,
we can easily say, first of all, mainly, we don't want him to go to a Western Conference team.
Yes.
Because we're playing first. So, East is better. But, yeah, definitely don't want to see him going to the Oilers or the Jets.
Well, I mean, when you think about, like, all right, so, like, for example, the Predators. So, I mean, the Predators, they still have, they still got Roman Josi. They've still got all of their top six forwards there. They've got Ryan Johansson. I guess Kyle Turris has kind of fallen out of that, but. I mean, you still got Victor Arvidsson. You still got Philip Forsberg. I mean, these 30-goal scorers, and then you're going to add Alexei Lafreniere on top of that.
Yeah, I definitely think whoever he goes to, it's going to be an immediate jump at least into being a solid playoff team, maybe even jump them up into contender. So Predators had a bad season this year. If they can figure it out next season, add Lafreniere, then automatic cup contenders if he's as good as these scouts that are saying he is.
Yeah,
same thing with the Jets, same thing with the Wild, same thing with the Yotes, honestly. Pretty much all those teams, if they can get a 30 goal scorer added to their team, if he's really as good as everyone's hyping him up to be, then I think that's an automatic jump into easily a playoff team.
But, you know, honestly, after Pittsburgh and Edmonton, that wasn't even my choice, honestly. You know who my choice would be?
Who is it?
The freaking Maple Leafs. I mean, you know, they're already an offensive juggernaut with, you know, I got John Tavares and Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Zach Hyman. And then on top of that, you're going to add Alexei Lafreniere. I mean, that's six players right there. I mean, they already spent over $40 million for the top four guys. And, you know, honestly, if you're Toronto and you get that first pick, you obviously can't pass on Alexei Lafreniere and go with somebody else. That would just be absolutely dumb, in my opinion. But maybe you get him and then you flip him for a defenseman. Maybe like...
Or you get him and you flip one of your older guys for a defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, that too. Yeah, that's... I mean, they really need some defensive help on that back part.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to see him go there just to help out the Maple Leafs. I really feel bad for those guys. 50 years without a cup, and it's the hockey capital of the universe, and they can't find a winning season. They can't even get to the playoffs right now. Because I don't count these play-in rounds as a playoffs. I'm saying they missed it again. So yeah. I feel bad for them. I can only imagine how sad that fan base is.
Well, you know, one fan base that is actually probably really excited is Arizona. Arizona won their play-in series, and they're actually in now too. So, that's got to be big for Arizona, especially for Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel, and you know, especially that's almost like a we hate you kind of thing to John Chenka after he left. But, all right, anyway, so we talked about the teams that we really don't want to see get the first overall pick tomorrow. But, you know, out of these, how many teams is it? Eight? Out of these eight teams, who do you think needs that first overall pick the most, or who do you think can benefit the most from it?
I think the team that can benefit the most from it is probably Carolina. Wait, did Carolina win? No, Carolina
won. Yeah, Carolina. Yeah, Carolina. Well, so here's your options. You got Pittsburgh.
I know. I just forgot about Carolina. Okay. I just like Carolina. They're my Eastern Conference team.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers can benefit a lot from them. I think they're knocking on the door of being a contender or a playoff team. I mean, not a contender. They're knocking on the door of being a consistent playoff team. I think they would have gotten it by the end of the season. I think they would have made it in. So I think some extra scoring would help them out there. And I think the other team that could really benefit from it is it's either the Preds or the Wild, honestly. I think the Wild, if they get that one more scorer, I know they've been just adding scores and trying to see it work out, but if they can get a quick jump like that, a quick little shot of morphine into the arm, I think that could shoot him up. I think it could really make him dangerous.
Morphine.
Finally.
So we're equating Lafreniere to morphine now?
I mean, yeah, the Wild are like cap crazy. They got freaking old, terrible guys. Can't do anything anymore. Sounds kind of familiar. They're just a little bit worse.
Yeah, probably just not as talented as our Stars team, I think. But, you know, honestly... This is kind of hard for me to choose. Who do I think probably needs it the most? Probably the Wild, honestly, because they could restart over. I mean, they just got Bill Guerin, you know, former Dallas Stars member, as their GM, and he could, if he got that first overall pick, he could start building that a new team around Alexei Lafreniere.
That is the challenge. It seems like the Wild, like this was supposed to be their final form after their most recent rebuild, right? Like they're kind of building up, and they ended with this, and they're like, "Oh no, this isn't what we wanted."
Well, that's where Zuccarello went.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just slop Zuccarello in, see if that'll fix it.
It's just like a melting pot. Let's just throw some cinnamon in that broccoli and cheddar cheese soup or whatever. See if it tastes good or not.
It's just not working for the Wild since that crazy deal with I don't even remember. What was that two-man deal? You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No.
Carolina, the Victor Rask deal, or?
I don't know. The 12-year deals. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Ryan Suter and Zach Parise.
Those guys.
Yeah, the 12-year deals.
Since those deals, the franchise has just been demolished. It hasn't been able to. It's been like the Stars were in the in the tens and twelves, just always barely out of the playoffs. Can't get in.
Now, who do I think could probably benefit the most out of the getting Alexei Lafreniere? I'm going to go with two East Conference teams. The Rangers. I think the Rangers were like 7-3 before COVID shut everything down and the world started ending and zombies started coming and murder hornets and all that jazz. Because they got Mika Zibanejad, who just scored 40 goals. They've got Artemi Panarin, who I think he's for the Hart Trophy for the season MVP. I think is what he is.
A great season, earned his contract.
Yeah, speaking of $11 million, he definitely
worth it.
Yeah, the Rangers got their money out of him. And then also I think the team that could benefit the most was the Panthers. I mean, we talked about all this year, among not just the Stars fans and media, but just media around the country that the Panthers could make a run for the Cup, because they were talking about how Sergei Bobrovsky, and they just signed him to a huge deal, and that he was going to be the missing piece and everything, and then it just never really materialized this year.
I feel like the Panthers and the Wild are kind of like parallels in the different conferences, right? They're always building. It always seems like they're rebuilding, and it feels like this was the year for each of them to step it up and become that next level, and they just haven't been able to find the guy to do it.
Yeah, neither one did. So, I still think the Wild need it the most, though, to be honest with you. I mean, they've got all those old guys. They've got, like I said, Zach Parise, he's in his mid-30s. So is Eric Staal. And now, don't get me wrong, Eric Staal has been great for the Wild when he came over. And he was a 30-goal scorer 2 years ago, and I think he scored about in the high 20s this year. I'd have to look it up and see. But, these guys are not getting any older, or any younger, excuse me. And, I mean, when you think about Zuccarello as well, he's 32, I think. So, it's kind of like they're the Stars in a way. But the difference is they just don't have any of those young guns that the Stars have. I mean, we've got Gerionoff and Hintz and Heiskanen, and the Wild don't really have anybody like that. So I think the Wild would probably benefit the most out of getting the first overall pick. So
yeah, I'll make my final choice as the Rangers. I think they were on the upswing when the season stopped, and I think they're going to continue to keep going up as soon as they can find their solid defense and they can solidify a goaltender in their net. I think they're going to be on the upswing. I think that could even jump them into a Cup contender easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Rangers looked real scary before COVID shut everything down. I think they would have made the playoffs. It's unfortunate what happened to them, but Carolina, they deserve to go on. They beat them single-handedly. So, all right. Well, we're getting pretty far in, and it's getting pretty long. So, you got anything else to add, Chris, before we sign off?
Looking forward to the Calgary series. I think it's gonna be a more offensive team against a defensive team. I think it slants in the Stars' favor more than the Canucks would. So, I'm looking forward to that, and ready to watch some hockey on Tuesday.
Yep, me likewise. We will probably do a podcast tomorrow, hopefully with our brother Zach. He's the one in between us. I'm the oldest, and Chris is number three. So we'll probably hopefully do a podcast tomorrow where we'll talk about, you know, we'll know at that point who gets the first overall pick and where Lafreniere is going. And then we'll also talk about the Stars series against the Flames. And then we'll also make our predictions for the rest of the series, and we'll see how it goes. This has been a really interesting series, you know, just with all the play-in series. Both five seeds have lost. I mean, Chicago, I don't know if you've watched Chicago, Chris, but Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith look like 2010. Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith. It's really
definitely scary. Yep.
If you're Vegas, that I would be a little concerned. We'll make those predictions on the next edition of Starcastic Remarks. Thank you for tuning in, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.